Blog Talk Radio.
Nobody really can touch us.
Lions in the building.
Welcome to the war room. We got Dez, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander.
How you wanna end a 1 or 2 hour show and keep the brain running with the premise of talk sports on a national level? Bold with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports environment, speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine, sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26, so the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with five nights at the round table. Five Philly guys, diversified and educated.
Hey.
What up, good people? It's your boys once again. It's the first week of August, and you're back at the round table. You're once again live in that war room, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm Devin McMillan. Alongside me at the round table this evening is my man Jimmy Williams, B. Austin, and Paul Johnson. The 2012 Summer Olympic Games, a.k.a. the Games of the 30th Olympiad, are well underway in London, and we want to talk about that. We want to talk about everything we've seen thus far. And near the top of the hour, we'll be talking with film executive Nikita Adams about our upcoming Sports and Entertainment Symposium in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., on Sunday, August 12th. Make sure you get this information if you're interested in getting into the sports and or entertainment business. We want to hear from you guys as usual, so if you have any questions or comments, jump into that JW Philly Realty chat room at blogtalkradio.com/The War Room or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports. You can also address your questions and comments to us directly when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline at 323-410-0012. Before we get started, as usual, we'd like to give some shout-outs to some of our industry partners. Make sure you check out Roy and Chris on the Broad Street Line every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. Also, check out Brandon, Chris, and Daniel of Sports Track Radio every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time on ueradiolive.com. The boys are back. Lastly, don't forget that in addition to Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, our show, The War Room, is syndicated on newviberadio.com, that's N-U-V-I-B-E, radio.com, every Friday at 7 a.m., 1 p.m., and 7 p.m. Eastern Time, that's 6 noon and 6 Central. Make sure you're always tuned in somewhere, somehow. So right now, Jimmy's going to tell us who's blowing out some candles on the birthday cake this week, because it's birthday time.
I am so happy to be here.
My birthday!
What's up, good brothers? What's up, War Room World?
What up?
This is Jimmy, now going by the name Jimmy Lion, or just call me Mufasa. Anyway, the birthdays are brought to you by Bay Financial Services. Get your money right. That's all I got to say about that. And if you want to do that, go to warroomsports.com, look for the Bay Financial Services logo on our website, and you can get in contact with them right there. You know what I'm saying? Get your money right before income tax season come up. Anyway, first birthday I want to talk about is one of my personal favorite ball players, and that's one Cedric Ceballos, who turns 43.
My birthday! Yay!
Hot Block Commander, a.k.a. B. Austin. What do you have to say about one Cedric Ceballos?
If scoring was all that mattered in life, Cedric Ceballos had one of the greatest lives of all time, because that dude could score. Now, there's not much else that he did on a basketball court. He didn't pass. He didn't rebound. He didn't slide his feet and play defense. He didn't block shots.
And he damn sure didn't dunk blindfolded. But go ahead, my bad.
And he did. He told lies. He told lies in the dunk contest. But all that being said, Cedric could score with the best of them.
Before I get to Dale, I just want to say, Cedric Ceballos, to me, he was at a time, like, you know, when the Lakers weren't contending for titles, but to me, he's one of the funniest players ever, because my man used to average over a dub, and he never had one play ran for him. He's the only player I've ever seen that will give you 20 and not have, you know, he got it on fast breaks, putbacks, like little dumb stuff, but he never had a play
lucky,
ran for
lucky
him.
Lucky trade balls.
yo, no post game. He had no handle, but he still put up 20. Weird, very weird. But Deb, what you got to say about Sabalos?
No, he was a rich man's Willie Burton. Willie Burton must have been garbage. No, like y'all said, man, Cedric could give buckets, man. He's one of those type dudes. One of them. Chris Gatling is the only dude I can think of when you say they never ran plays for him. But at the very least, they could throw Chris Gatling the ball in the post. 9 times out of 10, he'll face you up instead of going back to the basket. But yeah, Cedric, there were no sets run for him. And,
you know what? Gerald Wallace is kind of like that these days. Like,
no,
don't insult Sed
like that. Gerald Wallace has no perceptible skill at all.
But he has athleticism, every once in a while he will give you a dub without having to play kind of like, you know, he's kind of similar, but he's very athletic. But anyway.
And he made an all-star team. I mean, not the people still.
Not these days. Anyway, Cedric Sabalas turns 43. The next birthday is one Edgerrin Tyree James, who turns 34.
My
birthday, yay! Dad, when I say Edgerrin James, what comes to mind?
Me.
Gold Teeth and B. Austin, because B. Austin was an Edgerrin James Stanley. Like, really, Edgerrin James is probably in his top half running backs of all time. But, nah, I mean, Edgerrin was pretty good. What was a shame to me is that, you know, once he finally left the Colts, they ended up getting a championship without him. I believe they, you know, sent him some parting gifts, maybe a ring or something like that, just to say thank you for all the good times we had. But, yeah, he wasn't a part of that championship team in Indy, and that was kind of a shame. But I'm going to go ahead and pass that to B. Austin because, you know, that's his man. It's his home.
Edge put that work in. And every time he ran, all he heard was a cash register and dollar signs in his ears.
That's what they run for down in at the U.
Yeah, no doubt. Edgerrin James had an interesting career. You always think of the Colts, you know, because of him, Manning, and you know, Harrison. They had their so-called trips, even though they didn't win the title with him. They did send him some parting gifts, but it's kind of hard not to feel bad for him considering how they won the chip because, you know, they would have won that chip whether he was there or not. So, you know, it's kind of sad. But at any rate, you definitely think of the U. But here's the thing that shocked me. When you look at this, he's only 34. Why does it seem like he's so much older than that?
Yo,
he looked like he had a hard life.
Yeah, it don't seem like that.
Yo!
Yeah, you got to think of you, but definitely 34. Yo, I feel like Edgerrin James is 41. At any rate, man, let's move on to the next birthday. The next birthday is one Stacy Orlando Augman, who turns 44.
Plastic Man.
Yay!
The Plastic Man. Stacy Augman.
Plastic Man.
Y'all said Stacy Augman. What you got on Stacy Augman?
Yo, I overrated Stacy Augman for so many years and demanded that people recognize him as good. And then I took some time to actually watch tape. Stacy Augman wasn't good, man.
Stacy Augman, he did things good enough to stay in the league. Yeah, defense will keep you in the league.
Yeah, he played tough D. He couldn't shoot a gun fully loaded, aimed for him at a barn at only 4 feet away. His J was putrid.
He probably gets started for this Nigerian team, though. Anyway,
yo, why does Kobe have a problem with Nigerians?
Yeah, hold on, what you got on Plastic Man?
Plastic Man? I mean, he was a solid player. He didn't have any discernible skills, but he did enough to stay in the league, which was, you know, play defense, hustle man, and he can. I mean, he had hops in his early career, so
he
definitely could get to the rack when he needed to, or catch an alley-oop or something like that. He looked at the floor when he dribbled, and that's never attractive for an NBA player. But, you know, Plastic Man, back in the UNLV days, he was on that bomb squad that threw that game to Duke. I wonder how much they got paid for that. But, yeah, shout out to Plastic Man on his birthday.
Yeah, I really have nothing at all to say about Stacy Augman. He was a rich man, Tremont Swift. He played a little defense. Other than that, you know, FOH. But anyway, so that's a rest in peace shout-out to to one Trevor Burbick, who was born in 1955 on August 1st. Passed away 10/28/06. So rest in peace birthday to one Trevor Burbick. When I say Trevor Burbick, gentlemen, what comes to mind?
I thought Mike Tyson killed him back in the 80s.
I just want to see who would say it first. Let's not make this a Mike Tyson conversation, but when you hear the name Trevor Burbick, it's kind of hard not to think about Mike Tyson.
He might have died in 06, but he'd been brain dead since he got out the ring.
And because, I remember when he got hit, I thought it was seeing something on TV, but his soul left his body and left the building on TV.
He must have grabbed it back and fought for his life until 06.
You can see his soul leave his body, but anyway.
Yo, we're lucky Doc Bay not at the table tonight, because he would have played like 6 Mike Tyson sound bites by now.
No doubt. So those are the birthdays for this week, Dev. Let everybody know what happened this past week while they were on the grind.
Will do. While you were on the grind, it's brought to you by PhillyAutoDesign.com. Go to WarRoomSports.com to our sponsors tab. Click on their logo. Get your car right. Get your wheels right. Get your tires right. We'll get some chicks. But basically what happened this week while you're on the grind, as everybody know, are the games of the 30th Olympiad. But we stepped outside of that for a few minutes just to get you a few stories of the things that's going on in our world of sports, and some things that really don't have anything to do with sports. And this is an example. Some of you West Coasters' favorite rapper, Snoop Dogg, now wants to be known as Snoop Lion, and he will become a reggae artist. He has his reggae CD in queue, ready to drop in a few months. He said he was born again during a visit to Jamaica back in January, so he's changing to Snoop Lion, and he's ready to make music that his kids and grandparents can listen to. So I guess, he's done with the smoking of the weed song. I mean, if he's a Rasta, he's not done with the smoking of the weed, but maybe, the songs and the gun violence and all that kind of stuff. What's up with your man Lion?
Yo, there's very few things that can make me speechless. What are y'all growing in Jamaica that gets in it? Like, what type of herb is that? The THC content in whatever he smoked in January had gave him a spiritual experience.
Yeah. Hey, Jimmy, wow. He got a song called No Guns Allowed that features his daughter, so he's moving to the softer side of reggae. What do you think about this?
I mean, here's my thing. God bless him for being born again, so to speak, whatever makes him happy. But at the end of the day, this may be the funniest thing I ever heard in my life, y'all. Ryan, though, you couldn't just, continue to... How about just calling yourself Snoop and just change the content of your music? To come out and say your name is now Snoop Lion is hilarious.
Is he going to spell Snoop Dogg all the time?
That's probably why he did it.
He used to be down with Monster Cody in the Rolling 60s and the 8 Trade.
Yo, all I'm saying is this, Dev. You know the way he used to spell his name in every third bar, SNOOP or Snoopy DOGG, anything that rhymed. Now
DOGG, you see.
I guess, yeah, a Snoop Dogg fan on the line. But what I'm saying is, now he just found a way to add more content to his lyrics, because that's all Snoop really does when you think about it. Now he has a whole bunch of new words that rhyme with lion.
Like lion. That brother is lion.
Listen, man, my man went to Jamaica and smoked on that AC Green, and now he's losing his mind. But God bless him, man. I'm gonna listen to the music anyway, even if it's just to criticize him. I'm gonna listen, so it is what it is.
Yeah, so we got a not so happy story, a not so funny story down in Tampa. Tennessee Titans reserve receiver O.J. Murdoch was found dead in his car with what appeared to be a self-inflicted gunshot wound. You know, I was reading on NFL.com how he called a few people before his alleged suicide. He called his older sister. He called his old coach, and he just kept saying, "I'm sorry, coach, I'm sorry." He called his high school coach, Harry Hubbard.
I know what happened.
Yeah. Boy, you want to speculate what happened? What happened?
I want to know what happened.
O.J. Murdoch.
Speculation.
O.J. Murdoch. Ladies and gentlemen, listen closely, as we are some of the greatest sports speculators in the history of the universe. What happened was O.J. Murdoch had one of the most horrendous injuries possible to come back from, which was a ruptured Achilles. It takes you approximately 24 months to recover from this, and only 75% of people are able to fully recover. And you remember back in the day when it used to take 2 years to recover from an ACL. Now cats are recovering from ACLs in like 8 months, 7 months, and you're good. That's not the case with an Achilles. So,
let me ask you a quick question. Has anybody you can think of off the top of your head, has anybody come back from that and had success?
Yeah, Dominique Wilkins.
Okay.
But he was a different human being. So what we speculate happened, OJ went into camp and was on the physically unable to perform list. They did an inspection. They said, "Dog, the only thing you're going to be doing athletic is playing ping pong and walking. So your football career is done. Give us your playbook. And if you want a little job, sweeping up or whatever, you sweep up around here. But we can't use you as a wide receiver." And it hit my man in the heart, the stomach, and the head. And he felt so bad, being that football had consumed his life, that he decided to off himself. But one of the things I also learned about in my psychology class is when people reach out multiple times before they bang themselves, they don't really want to bang themselves. They want somebody that note with their communication and save themselves from themselves. So
yeah,
that's why
he was basically crying out for help, hoping that somebody
was crying
would notice
out for help.
As I get older,
and I know you listeners want to hear from my brothers, as I get older, I'm trying to learn how not to judge people. But I do think that suicide is probably the most cowardice act that you can commit, because look how many people's lives he has now affected.
Right.
Yeah. I thought that, but it's just so many different thoughts that come across, and I'm not trying to change the mood of the show, so to speak, but I think about African-American males and mental health and how we look at that as being a joke. People go through dark times, and,
Right.
I can't really judge him, although I agree with you in principle that it is kind of cowardice, because when you hurt yourself, there's so many other people. You said he called out the coaches and his sister. I mean, that right there shows that he has people that, care whether he lives or die, so to speak. But, again, I don't know exactly what happened, whether your story is true or not, or whether he has ever had any help from a mental standpoint. But I know as African-Americans, and we don't even go to the regular doctor, let alone a mental doctor, because it's looked down in our community. So, that's something that has to change. We did a whole program, dedicated to mental health, and we talked about it then, so I'm not going to get too deep into it, but sad story. My first thought was he lived in that dump called Tampa, so maybe he was just trying to, Anyway, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Shout out to DJ Willie G.
He was trying to get away from Willie G.
Yeah, that's my thought. He lived in that dump. Wait, go ahead, I'm sorry.
All right, so your boy Dirk Nowitzki apparently got married recently in a traditional Kenyan ceremony to a sister named, and I do mean a sister, named Jessica Olsen. Did you guys see the pictures of this? If you haven't seen the pictures, just go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/WarRoomSports, and just scroll down, and you'll see a picture of Dirk Nowitzki all garbed out in his gear, his Kenyan gear, getting married to, yet another sister. Remember, he was Dirk liked the chocolate bunny.
Yo, Dirk always likes chocolate women.
Dirk loves black women way more than most of you black people.
Yeah, no doubt. Some
definitely
of y'all are
black athletes.
Some of y'all love the bunnies, but Dirk love the chocolate women, man. Dirk used to date a chocolate stripper chick. But now he got him another chick, you know, and he married her in the, you know, Jockey Joe first style. If you look at the pictures. You know, it was kind of hilarious. But, I mean, that's the word. But they're saying that Dirk hasn't confirmed whether he did get married or not. But, you know, that was the speculation. So we'll see what happens.
Right.
Well,
and the rumors are that they're going to, you know, do it twofold. And they're going to go to Germany and do it German style for his, you know, for his parents. So
I mean, maybe I'm
baby.
Ignorant, but I've never been to a German
up
wedding.
Everybody's
going to
throw
up to Heil. Yo!
Oh,
no more Germans than Adolf. Yo, all I'm saying is I've never been to a German wedding personally, so I don't know what takes place there.
Whips fatter than them ish, they beat slitting them off.
But I don't know what happens there. Maybe that's why he hasn't confirmed it yet, because they're not finished. But how confused are their kids going to be? Like, you got someone who's German, who married an African, who lives in, like, Dallas.
Yo, Dirk is off the hook.
Yeah.
Dirk is off the hook. All right, so another story. Your boy Matt Barnes, former Laker, was arrested on a traffic warrant, but he made it worse because he threatened the cop. Like, I really don't know. Like, they didn't report what he supposedly said, but he threatened a police officer and made it a little worse. He was walking somewhere on Manhattan Beach, 20 miles southwest of downtown L.A., and they said he was walking on a busy thoroughfare, so I guess they noticed him. They knew who he was, so they probably, you know, got on the computer, saw that he had some warrants, went over there and confronted him. And, you know, Matt Barnes, how he threatened his chick on the basketball wife show, he probably did the same to the cop. Anybody want to speculate on what might have happened?
Let me talk to the light-skinned brothers, man. Let me talk to the light-skinned brothers, man. I know Deron Williams is balling, and Blake Griffin is dunking all over people. But a lot of y'all look like El DeBarge's cousin. Y'all not. Y'all can't be tough, man. That's going. They getting the game twisted, man. Y'all can't be tough, man. If you're born with a conch, and if y'all seen Malcolm X the movie, y'all know what a conch is. Y'all born with a conch. You can't go around trying to punk police officers. If you're wealthy for playing basketball. Yo, you can't. You're not a tough guy. A lot of tattoos no longer mean. I know what it is. See, when Matt Barnes grew up, having a lot of tattoos meant you were tough. But now, that just means you like to go see the tattoo artist. You're not tough, homie.
But hold on, though. That's also the image. Not the image, but that's how he plays the game. He's the so-called enforcer. And also he might be trying to overcompensate.
There's nothing to enforce in today's game. There's nothing to enforce in 2012.
I mean, you got a point there. I mean, the role of the enforcer has even changed. All the enforcer means now is you commit a couple hard fouls. But
yes,
what I'm
and
saying
it's only two tough guys that I know of in the league, David West and Ron Artest. And Ron Artest is trying hard to convince y'all, everybody, that he's not tough.
Yeah, how about that?
He's not great.
Yo, but maybe he's trying to overcompensate because he is a light-skinned brother. You know what I'm saying? You know,
and he does have a conch, and his is natural.
He got a natural conch.
Yeah, I was looking at Matt Barnes' hair when he's on the court. Like, yo, his hair is amazing. Like, how do you get that? I'm saying, man. I mean, you know, no Chick-fil-A, but his hair is amazing. All right. So, everybody, that's what happened this week while y'all were on the grind.
Oh, man, they got Ike. Oh, man. Oh,
yeah,
man, they got
we gotta call
Ike
Diago.
The
dev. Before
they
we
got
get
my
to
man Ike Diago shoot threes, man.
Dev, read it, but tell everybody how to get in touch with us before we bring this caller on.
All right, everybody, you can check out our website at warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report. That's our weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send us a message about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, click on the Memorabilia tab to buy War Room Sports merchandise. And then click on the blog tag to read our latest sports articles on the All's Fair in Sports and War blog. Then you can click the respective icons to like our Facebook page, to follow us on Twitter, or to subscribe to our iTunes podcast, and you can even download our free War Room Sports mobile app on your Android devices. Watch out for our videos on warroomsportstv.com. You can join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. To get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to do that, you can sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, click follow to make the War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and to get updates and reminders about the show. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. To call in and speak with the host, dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Pressing 1 is like raising your hand. So raise your hand if you're sure, and we might just call on you. All right, so we got the mayor. We got the mayor in Brooklyn on the line.
That's right.
You're in the War Room. What's going on?
Chilling, man. In my world, you could drink all the soda and popcorn you want. But anyway, you guys were talking about the game U.S. and Nigeria. I'm not even really interested in that. That's like a glorified practice to me. What does it mean?
Yeah.
You know, and I see people posting like, oh my, you know, we got 49 points the first quarter. What does that mean? You're playing Nigeria. It's a glorified practice. For real, real talk,
yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? And so,
this is the 2012 Angola.
Yeah, exactly, my dude, exactly. I'm one of those that say, okay, I'm not really of the mind that it's a foregone conclusion. Let him go through a little drama. Let him be a little situation. You know, 75 points in the first half, is that going to really make for compelling television?
If I was the Nigerians, I'd be telling them, y'all can't do this to us in soccer.
I gotta find some kind of bright side of it. So yeah, soccer, yeah, it'd be a problem, man. It'd be a problem. But you know,
this
it is what it is.
This game is a joke. It's like they're laughing.
Wait, hold on. There's four minutes left in the third quarter. And Carmelo has 37 points and is 10 for 12 from three-point land. 83% from three. That's pretty impressive.
Yo,
Mike Breen,
yeah, 37 points.
We'll be talking about that in December.
Yeah.
Watch.
He got
I've been sitting here with it on since it started.
Right.
And, you know,
right.
Of course I got the monitor on mute. But I don't even remember seeing Carmelo Anthony score, let alone 37 points. Damn. Is it that easy?
Yeah.
He's shooting
all threes.
Yeah, he's gonna remind us of it when they're getting blown out by Chicago in December about the 37 points they had against Nigeria.
Yeah, they should remember all these smiles now when it comes down to having to play the Heat. Y'all got to play the Heat in the playoffs. Let's remember all these smiles then.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Man. So, and not for nothing, Pat Rowley might decide to pick up one of them little Nigerian dudes on waivers or for a 10-day or something, and they bump into the Knicks, and then now he's sitting on the side of the last at Carmelo. So, you know, one day, you know, hey, it goes around, comes around. But at the end, you know, my main point was I'm not really even, you know, it's not even a subject worth talking about. You know what I mean? If it was within 20, then it'd be like, oh, man, you know, they ran into Nigeria, gave them a little problem. But
the game before this was great.
Okay.
Great Britain versus Spain.
Okay.
Yo, if Great Britain, if their players had brains, they could have won that game. It was real close.
Okay.
They brought it back. It was close at the end, but they kept making boneheaded mistakes. They were being carried by what's the man from the Bulls?
Luol Deng
was balling.
Right.
He had about 27 points.
And the dude they got with the dude, Pop Mentu or something. I think he's
Pop
Mentu, not
Mandu,
good.
But they got a
oh,
they got
okay,
a guy.
Okay, my bad. Okay.
They got a
yeah,
guy.
He's not good.
He's good enough for this. He's their second leading scorer. But the guy Freeland, who was drafted by somebody, He had about 28 points. He was balling.
Okay, so what did Gasol do?
I don't know what the numbers
big
are. Gasol,
big Gasol.
There,
they won.
Powell showed that he's the best post player in this tournament, which is not hard to be, but that's what
he
showed.
Let me ask you a question. Let's ask the mayor a question. I ask this to everybody from Brooklyn, man. Going into the next season, are you becoming a Nets fan now that they moved to BK, or is it still Knicks?
I'm gonna try to make this question as politically correct and as radio friendly as possible. No, Knicks all day, blue orange all day.
Wow,
I'm a Knicks fan and I'm repping BK, but it's like that. I'm not gonna front. I got me a couple of those Brooklyn Nets shirts. I ain't my friend. I could rock it. I'd be like, yo, I'm a BK. I'm a Knicks fan, though. But I think.
But I just found it interesting because they're moving into your backyard, and we know that.
What about a fallback team, though? What if the playoffs jump off, the Knicks go out in the first round, Brooklyn's still there? Then you got to root for the home team, right?
Just basically kind of like, yeah, okay, they did it, and this and that, and the third, and we're going to see what Joe Johnson going to do. You know what I mean?
But you wouldn't celebrate it like you were celebrating.
Oh, nah, because that would be kind of
respect
myself.
I respect
myself.
But you know what, though? I'm going to keep it real. Like, I know a lot of people from New York, and Brooklyn has the most pride in their borough. Like, I be telling all the time.
People
from Brooklyn act like they're not from New York. Like, yo, I'm from Brooklyn. Like, it's a whole different planet.
Yo, y'all are everywhere, man.
Planet of Brooklyn.
Any party.
I partied in Singapore, and the DJ put, "Where Brooklyn at?"
And
I'm looking around.
Exactly.
And they start screaming, yo, I'm like, Brooklyn's in the build. We in Singapore.
Oh,
right,
that's
right.
Exactly what I was about to say, man.
Yes,
anywhere around the world, DJ says we're
all day, worldwide.
Somebody from Brooklyn
worldwide.
Is in that party.
That's why I said they may not have a problem building a fan base because Brooklyn does have pride.
Oh, right. That's right. I mean, you know, just in case, you know, just on the strength, you say, yo, I got a team, you know, and it's from, you know, my team's from Brooklyn, and that's just, you know, let people just saying that they own the Nets now, but they know that the Nets got a team downtown, you know, and that's their team.
All right, thanks for your call, man.
Thanks, man.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. Okay, World Room Sports, man. Keep rocking, man.
See you on Sunday.
All right.
Peace. Yeah, Brooklyn be everywhere, you know. He was rocking in Singapore.
Can you
tell everybody any of these hot topics are brought to him by?
Oh, Doc, go ahead and see what's on that next call we got. But I'll get it. These hot topics are brought to you by Stitcher Smart Radio. You can now hear The War Room, which is your favorite sports radio show, I know. You can hear it on the Stitcher app. You can listen to your favorite shows from your computer, your iPhone, your Android phone. And if you're one of those people that are still holding on to your BlackBerry or possibly even a Palm phone, you can hear Stitcher there as well. The latest episode is always available for you. No syncing needed and no memory or storage wasted. Just go to Stitcher.com/The War Room, and that's one word, Stitcher.com/TheWarroom. And when they ask for the coupon code, use The War Room, because what that does is enter you in a contest to win lots of monies, millions of monies. Anyway, let's get into some topics. Let's talk about Silas Red, who's a Penn State running back. He ran for about 1,241 yards last season and had 7 touchdowns. He's a very productive player at Penn State. He's one of the only guys to say, look, I'm out of here. He's transferring to USC. I saw a lot of different opinions on this, but you guys, give me your opinions real fast. Is it a good move? Is it, you know, what do you think about him transferring?
I wish that he wouldn't have lied and said he wasn't transferring. That's what I wish. I don't have a problem.
Oh, I don't know about the flip-flop or the back and forth. I just heard he flopped. I heard a lot of the other players coming out on this, and they're basically sticking behind him and his decision, saying, you know, he had a right to do it. But I've also heard grumblings behind the scenes that they're not really too fond of it because they wanted to try to make this a family affair and stick together. But in a situation like this, you can't blame somebody for wanting to, you know, he may have different reasons for coming to Penn State than you. I mean, you might be the kid who grew up since you were 4 wanting to go to Penn State because that's in your blood. He might have gone to Penn State because, I mean, I don't know why he would, but he may have seen a chance to win a national championship. And now that this this whole situation has happened, that's not even possible. You know, that's not even
feasible.
Here's my
thing.
So,
shout out to him. Shout out to him for not supporting BBR. So with that being said, it's like USC, not only are they eligible to go at this point because they had their little problems as well, but they have a good team. They're a better team than Penn State. Yo,
they're always a better team than Penn State.
If they would have been eligible last year, they could have possibly competed for the national championship. There's that good.
Yo, they're gonna come off their sanctions and be right back up in the top five teams.
Yo, you ain't never lie, because they have so much talent there. They have so much talent at almost every position, but I don't know what his role is going to be, considering that the late transfer. I don't know whether he'll be the man there.
They have seven running backs on the roster, and five of them haven't touched the field yet.
Okay, yeah. So I don't know. Maybe that's a good thing for him. Maybe because I think he's a junior. I don't know if he's a junior or a senior. This guy, Red. But anyway, so I mean, it's his right, like you said, it's his right to do so. And this whole thing about the family affair and all that, it was also a family affair when they were raping little babies. Anyway.
This was the whole point of the NCAA giving them that opportunity to transfer without penalty and not have to sit out. Because, for people who might want to do something like this, I can't blame them. I really can't blame them. The program is in trouble. And if you don't want to stick around, that's your right.
Outside of the program, the reputation of the school, to say I went to Penn State, it's still a good school. Let's not get it twisted. But when you hear Penn State now, it's synonymous with BBR. But go ahead, Des.
No, I was about to say, before you go to the Digital Extreme hotline, because we got a call waiting there, I just wanted to see what PJ, a.k.a. Semi, thought about the situation with Silas Red.
I concur with
his name Silas
did.
For it, first of all.
I know, right? Paul Silas. But, no, I concur with what y'all said. I mean, he has the right to leave. I mean, I can't blame the guy for exercising his right. It's just like going to a different company. I mean, especially with all the things that have happened at Penn State. So it's unfortunate that he's their best player. But
at the same time, PJ, that's the reason he has options, because he's their best player.
Yeah, because he's their best player.
The other dudes may not have gotten any good phone calls, so they talk about his family affairs.
That's what I was going to say. They were stalking him as soon as they had the chance to. He was getting stalked.
It's also a situation where a lot of them may not have had the heart to say, hey, I'm leaving. You know what I'm saying? True. Like,
yeah, but a lot of them, Jimmy, probably didn't get recruited by USC either.
Yeah, they got them calls from like
the kicker just left.
Millersville State.
Millersville City of Cooktown. They could have went to my own. And you probably called a couple of stopping. What's good?
See what's up on the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline, because I actually think that's a Penn State fan waiting on there too. I don't know if that's what he wanted to talk about, but you can ask him, because
let's bring Fab on. Fab in DC by way of Brooklyn. Another
Brooklynite.
Yeah. Yeah, so a couple of things. The whole Brooklyn situation, Brooklyn's like a gateway to New York. Even, doesn't matter what color, what creed, what religion, you got to go through Brooklyn. You got to slum it out before you go to Manhattan, Queens, whatever. That's why everybody's from Brooklyn.
Cool. Got you.
Yeah, another thing about what y'all talking about Penn State. By the way, great show, man. Really, really
thank
love
you,
your show.
Thank you, man.
It, one thing I don't think you guys notice, when people get drafted, they go to the, recruited, they go to the best situation that they possibly get.
Right.
So these Penn State guys, he probably didn't get recruited by USC when Penn State got him.
Exactly.
So now that USC is knocking on his door, he's like, I'm out. I'm getting
Eli, I can leave without sitting out a year. I can go to USC.
Yeah,
right.
Of course. And I am a Penn State fan too, which is a long story. I mean, just watching them on Channel 4 growing up and then getting stuck watching them. But, watching this cat has speed, and he'll try to go through a wall, which is something that's not on USC's roster right now.
Yeah.
And
you go out, what happens when you're a running back for USC. You might be able to get you a Kardashian. So I don't blame you.
Exactly.
You got to do what you got to do, man.
And not only that, he hasn't had a line like that USC line.
Yeah.
So he wants to
be. That was my thoughts kind of exactly. Like, USC came calling, and those other guys who want to make this a family affair, USC, LSU, Alabama, those guys, the phone wasn't ringing. So now we want to be family. But if the phones start ringing from better situations, come on, man, it would have been a mass exodus.
I mean, coaches do it all the time. Coaches do it all the time. They have success in not that Penn State's a small school, but you see coaches with success in a small school. When the big boys come calling,
Lane Kiffin did it. The coach of USC did it.
Yeah, but another thing, though, Penn State has always been winning big boys.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. They're a big boy, but after this, it's going to take some time to get back to where they once were.
They went back in the womb. They're not even born yet. They got to be reborn.
They're going to be in the MEAC.
Man, the MEAC is out right now, to be honest with you.
And that's why them dudes didn't leave, because they got Howard and Morgan State calling them, and he got USC calling them.
Right.
He knows what he's doing. I ain't mad at him, man.
He has to get out.
Thanks for your call, man. We really appreciate it.
All right, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, man. No doubt.
Yeah. All right.
Brooklyn is always in the building.
Yo, Brooklyn is everywhere, man. No doubt. Brooklyn is everywhere. But anyway, let's talk about another story. Let's talk about our beloved Philadelphia Phillies. Looking like, I feel like Steve Jeltz and Juan Sanuel and Von Hayes are coming back. Looks like we're going back to the late 80s, early 90s with this team. The trade deadline, they had a fire sale.
With a P-H-I-R-E.
A P-H-I-R-E sale. You guys saw exactly what happened. What were your thoughts on the moves that they made, and what do you think about the organization as a whole in terms of where they're going?
Hey, well, you know what I said last week, Jim? I was like, do whatever you got to do, but don't trade Cliff Lee. And they didn't trade Cliff Lee. I think it's one of those things, though, where the deal probably wasn't good enough because his name was out there. But then when they don't trade you, they try to deny that your name was ever out there in the first place. And, you know, nobody really believed that after the fact.
I think with where they were, anybody was for sale. Even Cliff Lee.
Yeah,
the deal just wasn't good enough. Or
Ruben Amaro put the team on eBay, basically. But I mean, it's like,
he ain't said no buy it now price. You know what I mean? You still have to hire it.
But, with Cliff Lee, too, because Cliff Lee's owed a good amount of money, too. So, like Dev said, it would have to be a good deal with somebody, because they would have to, and they'd have to be able to pay him, because Texas was supposedly flirted around, and now Ruben Amaro is like, yeah, nah, you know, don't listen to what you hear out there and this and that, but yeah, I don't know.
I'm glad we got him back to Texas.
Yeah. I mean, we still got the big three at in our rotation for next year.
So. Right. So it's like, if they can do anything offensively, if they can get better offensively somehow in the off season. You know, like you said, you still got the big three aces there. It's a team that you could put back together fairly quickly if you can just get some bats out there. And the ironic thing is they're 2-0 since the trade deadline against the MLB-leading Washington Nationals. That don't even sound right when you say it.
Yeah.
But they've been, you know, crushed Washington the first night, 8-0, and they came in there with the team all depleted, and you know the Washington commentators were talking about how this was going to be a cakewalk. They had Strasburg on the mound, Phillies were depleted. You know, they just traded away 2/3 of their outfield and Victorino and Hunter Pence, and they went in there and actually drilled those boys. So you know, kudos to the cats that are still there. But what do you guys think about that? Hunter Pence came in and became like a fan favorite real quick. But he's been showing himself to be like a liability on the defensive end. Were y'all upset that they got rid of him so quickly, that they gave up on the pinch plan, or y'all cool with it?
I mean,
I was cool with it because I don't think he's going to – whatever it takes to play D, I don't think he's going to pick it up and become a better defender. So it's all about his bat.
It's part of the business of baseball, and, you know, I just hope that they continually – spend the money and try to put the effort to win. Like, every once in a while you have to do this. But let's just see if they keep that, you know, keep that same mentality up going into the next season. Not that this season is over. I'm still, like, although I'm sounding kind of crazy optimistic. But I'm just saying that let's see if they keep this mentality up, because they've been spending money. And traditionally, the Phillies were some cheap bastards. But with this last run, they look like they've been willing to spend money. They invest a lot of money into the pitching. So let's see if, you know, they're done. or they're going to continue to try to make moves to make the team better.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
because you remember coming up how bad the Phillies were, yo.
Yeah,
like,
when they had Juan Sanuel with his Jerry curl and his gold chain. Looking
yeah,
like,
I remember as a kid going to Juan Sanuel bat day. It was like 30 people there.
Everybody got
man,
four bat.
I got S curl. He was from like the Dominican or something with an S curl.
Yo, they had the boy
the
Steve
tight
Jelton
choker chain.
He also had a Jerry curl. Glenn
yeah,
Wilson, Ma A, Shane Raleigh. I mean, these teams were horrible.
Yeah,
and, you know. Like once Michael Jack left, that was it. But they decided to start spending money. They've been competitive. You know, they're like the Detroit Pistons with their one chip. Let's see what happens, though.
Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of, Jim, before I screen door that for you, because I think our guest is waiting on the line, but as far as the teams that made themselves better, of course the Dodgers getting Shane Victorino, but their big prize was Hanley Ramirez. Like, so
yeah.
The offense in L.A. is going to get better, and they're going to be a team to be reckoned with throughout the rest of the season.
Magic
the Braves tried to get Ryan Dempster, didn't get it, but they got Paul Mahomes. So, you know, they did it without giving up any of their young pitchers. So these are the teams that made themselves better. And since the Braves did get better, I think the Washington Nationals better watch out, because they kind of stood pat and didn't do anything at the trade deadline. And if this is your first time even making a run at the playoffs, I don't think you get that cocky and just sit pat at the deadline like, oh, we good. We got the best record in the majors.
And they're going to sit their horse, too.
Because
you want a pitch count. Yeah,
they keep saying no matter what, they're going to sit them down. I don't believe that they'll do it if they're deep in a playoff run, but they keep saying that that's the plan and that's what they plan on doing. So those are your big winners, but let me.
It's funny to hear, like,
Jim, I'll get this.
Yeah, it's funny to hear you talk about the Nationals and say playoffs. Like,
the playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs?
Are you kidding me?
Now every time I hear that, I wait to hear the Jada laugh. But you know, anyway. I mean, it's just crazy to hear you talk about the Nationals and playoffs. That's like. That just still sounds weird. But, I mean, they are playing good ball this year. And, you know, we'll see what happens in terms of the future. But I just hope that from the Philly standpoint, going back to them, they don't decide to, like, you know, just tank it. I mean, as long as Amaro's there, I'm hoping that, you know, they'll make moves to get the team better or whatever. Because, I mean, they
make
a lot of money.
He's not, yeah, and then he got, like, he has the city now, and he has them kind of their support. And he doesn't seem like he's scared to pull the trigger or, you know, sign a check. So,
yo, in baseball, nobody's scared to pull the trigger. Yo, they would trade the best player in like 15 minutes. Like, in other sports, no one gets traded like they do in baseball. Basketball, they always try to hold on to the best player. In baseball, anybody can go. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah,
but
that's true.
You know what I'm saying? Like, in, when it comes to baseball, yo, anybody can go at any given time.
And the Yankees flirt with everybody that's available.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. The Yankees, yo, come on, man. They're like a Brazilian woman. Anyway, let me be quiet. NFL, let's talk about the NFL. Training camps are starting. And this Sunday is actually a Hall of Fame game. You got excited football season to be starting?
I'm real excited, man. I mean, honestly, what's gotten me through has been the Olympics. But usually this dead time between, like, late June and, like, mid-August is, like, the worst sports to, like, you know what I'm saying? It's nothing on, like, you know what I'm saying? You're trying to make things interesting.
The Olympics definitely help, you know what I mean? Sitting up late night watching badminton and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I'm excited for football, man. I'm real excited. Hall of Fame game, you know what I mean? Hard Knocks about to start.
Yeah, when does Hard Knocks start, by the way?
I think it's, it's like a Tuesday or a Monday it starts, but I don't know. I don't think it's
when Ocho Cinco get his name legally changed back to John.
I think it's the week after, the Monday after this one or something. I had to check.
Yeah, no doubt, Dad. So what's popping? Was that? I guess or what?
Yes, it is. And before we bring our guests on the line, I just want to let you guys know that her segment is being brought to you by Audible. Is your schedule too hectic to read as much as you want? Well, try audiobooks and kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. All you got to do is visit Audible and sign up for your free trial at audibletrial.com/warroomsports. In no time, you can be listening to the latest bestsellers, hands-free, stress-free, while getting other things done at the very same time. Now, our guest coming on the line is Nikita Adams. She's a native of Washington, D.C. She now lives out in L.A. because she's a film exec at Junto Box Film Studios, which is Forrest Whitaker's new film studio. So she's going to come on with us for a few minutes and talk about the Sports and Entertainment Symposium that she's putting on in Washington, D.C. on August 12th. You all need to come out if you're interested. So we're going to bring her on the line now so she can give you some information on it. Nikita, you are in the war room. How are you?
Hi, guys. Thank you for having me.
No problem.
Hey, Nikita, how you doing?
How are you?
I'm doing good. I have to say, I've never been in a war room before. I know absolutely nothing about sports.
Cool.
I don't even know,
This is where
that's
the intelligence decisions are made.
You're not in the minority. A lot of people we talk to who think they know everything about sports know nothing about sports. So we're all equal here.
I am an expert,
I think, in the entertainment industry, which is why
cool.
I think I'm credible to have, to be hosting this symposium in D.C., which I'm very excited about.
Yes.
But the reason I'm on the line with you all is because you all are doing a wonderful co-sponsorship with me for that symposium. And so you all are going to be hosting the sports part of the Sports and Entertainment Symposium. So I know who to reach out to. I have a deficit.
Okay. Well, before you tell our audience about the actual symposium, you know, the what, the when, where, and the whole purpose, tell them a little bit about yourself. You know, give them your background in entertainment and, you know, the reason why you're doing this symposium in D.C.
Well, my entertainment career actually started at Howard University, where I studied TV and film.
A2?
Yes. And as a side, Devin and I were actually neighbors. We lived across the hall from each other my sophomore year. So he
yes.
and I
Uh-oh.
Have been
What
friends.
Doing?
Oh, in the towers.
In the good
we
times.
We were in the towers on the first floor.
In the good times.
Okay.
Akil's not
Meridian
on the show tonight.
Know what they say about Meridian. Go ahead, continue.
No,
see that we're being silly.
Yeah, Akil was
was
my roommate.
He always had food, so he always
yep.
had food in his room. So anyway, my career started at Howard University, where I studied television and film, and then when I graduated from Howard in 2000, I went on to work at BET, and I started at BET like everyone starts as a production assistant. Or a PA, and then later I became a producer at BET, and then BET moved me to Los Angeles to start a satellite office. And so I was at BET for a while, and I left after it was acquired by Viacom, and then I went on to pursue my real dream, which was filmmaking. And so I made my first feature film actually with another Howard alumni. You know, the film went on to get distribution, and that really jump-started our career in film. And so, you know, I finished that film, and I started producing and directing other projects, and then I decided that I wanted to be a film executive as opposed to just a filmmaker. And if
right.
that doesn't make sense to your listeners, then they really should come to the symposium. But I wanted to be the person who sat behind the desk to green light a film and to actually work with the filmmakers to make the film as opposed to being the filmmaker who's making the film. So, you know, again, I had to kind of start over because in entertainment, whenever you want to do any specific career, you have to start as an assistant. And that's just really how the industry is set up. So I began.
Gotta pay your dues.
Yeah, absolutely. So I became an executive assistant again at a bunch of different companies at New Line Cinema, at Warner Brothers, at Paramount, all over Hollywood. And then when Jamie Foxx won his Oscar about 7 years ago, when he won his Oscar, he then started a production company, which was a really major deal because he had his production company was set up through Paramount and MTV, and then he also had a deal with MTV and VH1. And so the young lady who was the senior vice president of production and development at his company called me up and asked me to come over to be her assistant. So I was her assistant for about a year and a half, maybe 2 years. And then she left the company and then I was promoted to her position. So I stayed at Jamie's company as head of development for about 3 or 4 years, and then I left there in December, and now I work, as you said, as an executive for Forrest Whitaker's new film studio, which is different from a production company. And again, if you want to know the difference between a film studio and a film production company, please come to our symposium.
Come but to now the symposium.
Yes. So now I'm an executive for Forrest Whitaker's production studio, and I've been there since early June, I think. So I've been making movies. I've been in the Hollywood system for a long time.
All right. Yeah, I mean, well, you heard her say it twice. If there's anything you want to know about the entertainment business, if there's anything she said that you didn't understand, August 12th in Washington, D.C., the Sports and Entertainment Symposium is where you need to be. So you want to give everybody a little information on that? You can tell us everything. Tell us about it. You know, give us the date, the time, the venue.
Absolutely. I want to start by identifying who should come, like who we're marketing it to. And actually, we're marketing it to everyone. So even if you don't fall into one of these two categories and you're in the D.C. area, still come through. But we're doing a hard target with two groups of people. The first group of people are the people who were like me when I graduated from Howard, people who would say, I really want to work in the entertainment industry, but I don't know enough about how the industry works to know where to start. Or people who would say, I really want to work in the sports industry, not as an athlete, but as a manager or something. I just really don't know where to start. So we're targeting people who have a desire to be either in sports or entertainment, but don't know what the first step is. So that's the first group of people we're looking for. The second group of people are those people who, kind of like I was, again, when I was an assistant all over town, folks who would say, I'm somewhat in the entertainment system and or I'm in the sports system, and I don't know how to go to the next level. And I need to speak to someone or, like, get some information or some education to understand how to get to the next level in my career. We're looking for you to come to the Sports and Entertainment Symposium. So the symposium is going to be Sunday, August the 12th. That's next Sunday, not this Sunday coming up, but next Sunday, August the 12th, from 2 p.m. to 7 p.m. in the beautiful Washington, D.C. area. It's going to be at the Enterprise Theater and Jazz Lounge. And believe it or not, Devin, the Enterprise Theater and Jazz Lounge is actually owned by a Howard University professor.
Wow.
So, yeah, we're definitely keeping it in our, you know, Bison alumni circle. But, again, it's the Enterprise Theater and Jazz Lounge, and that address is 2917 Georgia Avenue, Northwest Washington, D.C., 20001. The program is completely free. When's the last time you got something that was free? The program is completely free. Registration starts at 1:30, so we're asking everyone to get there at 1:30 so that you can register for the different panels and workshops that we're having, the breakout sessions. The first panel starts at 2 p.m. That's going to be a panel on Hollywood and how to have a career in Hollywood or entertainment. And then that panel is going to go from 2 until 4. Then 4 till 5, we're going to have our breakout small session so you can ask questions in a small forum. And then from 5 until 5:30, we're going to have a movie screening by another alumni, Ralph Scott, who did a film called Barbasol. And then from 5:30 to 6:30, we're going to be back in the war room with War Room Sports, who's going to be hosting. Yeah, you all are going to be hosting a panel on the business of sports. And we have some wonderful people going to be on that panel. Obviously, you know, the fine gentlemen at War Room Sports are going to be there. But in addition to that, we're going to have a sports agent, Alan Ellison. He represents athletes in NASCAR, and his business partner, Nika Williams. She does marketing and public relations in the sports world. So if any of your listeners want to have a career in the sports world, but really don't know how to get started, or they're in it somewhat and they don't know how to take the next step, please come to the entire symposium, but definitely come to the sports portion of it.
No doubt.
So did I leave anything out?
I don't think you left anything out. Besides that, we're working on trying to get a few more panelists for the sports portion of the symposium. We'll probably have some more names for you next week. And actually, you're going to come back on next week and give this information all over again for the people who didn't hear it the first time, right?
Yes, definitely.
And
okay.
If you need
we
any more information.
We definitely have some surprises. You have some surprise guests coming.
Well, yeah, I thank God for surprises. But listen, if I went over any of that information too fast, I'm sure you guys will put the information on your website and on Facebook, and then you can always hit me up on Facebook, and I'm happy to give you all the information. All the information is on my front page on Facebook, and I'm Nikita S. Adams on Facebook. That's N-I-K-I-T-A, S like Sam, Adams, A-D-A-M-S. And, you can get all the information. But did I say it was free? It was totally free. And let me
totally
just tell you,
free.
I want to kind of tell you a little bit of the passion behind why I'm doing this, Devin. I mean, I don't know about you, but, when we graduated from Howard, obviously we graduated with a wonderful education.
Right.
But some of the nuances about the career, because entertainment and sports is constantly moving, and it's evolving. So when I graduated, I actually needed this kind of information. I needed mentors, and I needed someone to kind of pull me to the side and teach me the ABCs of entertainment. When I graduated from Howard, I knew how to make a movie, but I didn't necessarily know about the Hollywood system. And it was frustrating, and I spent my will for several years just trying to figure that information out. And I'm thankful that I did figure it out. I was able to figure it out with the help of, some wonderful people who helped me along the way. And my heart goes out to those people who are in that position where I was about 11 years ago. So, this is my way, our way of kind of getting rid of some of that frustration for people who want this to be their career and who are really serious and passionate about it.
Okay, well, if anybody goes to our website, warroomsports.com, you'll see that the flyer for the event is already on there. It's our first flash ad, actually. They can check that out. And like Nikita said, if you need any information on the event, you can use the contact information on Facebook that she gave you, or you can also send us an email, info@warroomsports.com, and we make sure we'll get you all the information that you need for the symposium on August 12th. But Nikita, we thank you
for
coming
you
on today, and we look forward to you coming back on next week to do the very
Absolutely.
Same thing.
Thank you.
And, we're going to
so
do
excited.
Our part. We're going to do our part, do everything we can to help you make this a huge success.
Yeah, and so you all promised surprises, right? It's going to be a surprise. Something's going to be surprising.
I do, and we deliver on our promises. But real quick, my wife said that I'm really cute and that I should be on TV. Can you help me be on TV?
You need to come to the symposium. We're going to have some talent agents, like a talent manager, not recruiting. I don't think any of the managers or the agents are going to be recruiting people, but they will give you the information and tell you what you need to do in order to get that representation so you can start getting auditions and, getting on television shows and films. So, yes, we're going to give you
the
ABCs. But you are incredibly cute, so, you're right around.
I think what B. Austin's wife is saying is that even if he comes there and they don't have the intentions of recruiting, he's going to force them to do some recruiting work. So we will try to get B. Austin on TV on the 12th. So thank you again.
I got your back. It's going to happen. You put it out there, it's going to happen.
That's right.
All right, Nikki, so we'll talk to you again next week on the air.
Thanks for your time.
Okay,
thank
boys.
You,
thank you for
we
your
appreciate
time.
You,
I know it's like 7 a.m. over there, so,
No, it's 4 p.m. I'm on my way to the beach.
I know, I'll be look at you. Okay, cool.
Yeah, she's
on
her
way
to the beach. After this, we're on our way to bed. All right, well, have fun.
Bye, y'all.
All right, much love.
All right.
All right, that's Nikita Adams, everyone. And again, the Sports and Entertainment Symposium will be August 12th in Washington, D.C. Go to our website, worldroomsports.com. Check out the flyer. Go to our Facebook and Twitter pages, and, you know, we'll be posting about it from now until the start of the event. So we're looking forward to that. I think we got a kill on the line. We got Doc Bay on the line.
What's
up, on Doc Bay?
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing this evening?
What's good?
What's up,
Chilling, Doc? I know you traveling around. Where's your travels have you at the current moment?
Actually, I'm in the in Small Wonder, the first state, Delaware, at the moment.
Okay.
Just making some rounds, you know, seeing some people, seeing some family. And shout out to my cousin, D. Slayton, D. Sixer fan. I'm actually with him right now. He, you know, he wrote a couple of blogs for us.
No doubt. Tell
you
him
what?
I said what's
you need
up.
You need to tell him to come on down to the symposium so he'll find out how he can get into the sport, you know, to the sports industry.
Okay, you're right.
That,
that sounds like a plan. He's actually he's doing some broadcasting for Dell State on the sports front, and he had an internship with the Sixers set up, but he tore his ACL, meniscus, and Achilles
Damn.
Playing basketball.
Damn! Somebody crossing like that?
He was trying to do a spin move, and he just pop, pop, pop.
Got Ike Diaz.
He was trying to do
Dez's
spin move. Hey, he was trying to do Dez's patented spin move. Yeah, and then pause between the legs, behind the back spin.
The one leg. Yeah. I can see how that can happen. You know, you got to be an expert at that one. But, you want to chill on the line with us for a little while?
Yeah.
We're about to talk a little bit of the... You know, the games of the 30th Olympiad real quick. The Olympiad. But
no doubt.
Real quick, if anybody want to get in touch with us, you can just check out our website at worldroomsports.com. Call in and speak to us today about any of our topics. Just dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you already listened... Press 1 if you want to talk. All right, so the games are underway. You fellas got any thoughts on... We'll take it back to the opening ceremonies. You guys got any
take
thoughts on the opening ceremonies?
Take it back.
How'd you think London did?
Overall, it was good to me. I'm gonna keep it 1,000. It was kind of long. But when they lit the little torch, John, that was fish grease.
I've never seen anything like that before. Like you said, like the whole parade thing, it's boring, you know, because you don't really know these people until they get to the United States.
Yeah.
I want to know
the little thing
they
got the queen to do a little skit. That was cool. But like Jimmy said, when they lit the cauldron, well, it actually turned into a cauldron after they lit it. Now, that was hot. That was hot. I don't see what Rio de Janeiro is going to do to
the
top.
They're going to have them bunnies out. Them
they're going to have some bikini ladies.
Bunda.
Bikini involved.
They're going to have Bunda. Bunda is going to be there. And if you don't know what Bunda is, look it up.
You know what it is.
Oh,
they're going to have all that nice little Nana walking by. That's what they're going to do.
They're
going to
have that Bunda.
They're going to light the torch with hotness.
Them tan lines going to be walking across the screen. Tan lines.
And then everybody going to be raving like, yo, that's the greatest opening ceremony I've ever seen in my life.
They're not even going to handle a torch. They're going to have a lighter at that job. Yeah, they're going to suck
like
the
torch with a booty clap.
He's just going to have to burn
the
job.
We got to get back to these Olympics, because if we talk about the Brazilian Olympics, I'll keep talking about it.
We gonna get censored. Yeah.
So, real talk though, they gotta stop inviting Ali to this joint. Like, I respect Ali, love Ali for what he's done.
Yeah.
Yo, I don't want to see him like that out there, man.
Yeah, it was unnecessary. I mean, you had to fly him 6 hours across the pond to stand there and not really know what's going on. That's not cool, man. You know. Remember Martin
cool.
did that joke? Like when he was like, when I'm old, don't take me to the game and have me in the front row.
Yeah.
said burnt down Atlanta.
He said that on Run Tell That. Yeah, he was like, yeah, I mean, don't have me in there. The game was just game down to the left. I'm looking to the right. One eye open.
It's like Muhammad Ali's wife. She kept telling him, like, grab the flag, Muhammad, grab the flag. And he didn't move. Like, I just don't understand why he was there. You know,
yeah, they
got to
start rolling him out there, man. They can find somebody else. All the Olympians they have, man.
Come on, they maybe can they can tell him in there.
If they want to do all that, they can use Al Davis.
Yeah.
Oh.
We can just
weekend at Al.
They can just put a wig on a knapsack, a black one, throw some glasses on the top, drop that boy down from a helicopter, just hang him from a helicopter and fly him around and jump. But,
I mean, why don't you roll him out there? I mean, you know that they never roll out Tommy Smith and John Carlos, but we ain't going to get into that.
Oh, yeah. They never get into that.
For those who don't know who they are, look that up.
Yeah, your history. Get knowledge of self.
But I go front. Every time the Olympics, every opening ceremony, I learn more about countries that I never knew anything about. I mean, it's countries that don't even have running water that got Olympic teams in
the
joint.
It's countries with like four people, and they send five athletes.
This country's comprised of a hut, and everybody from that country is in the Olympics.
Some of those countries had like one person. Like, the person with the flag. I mean, they had the flag. And they had the little chick with the dress on.
I'm going to tell y'all what I was offended by, though. I was offended by the countries that had 40, 50, 60 million people, and they only sent like 7-8 athletes. I was offended by that.
Yeah.
Because Jamaica only got like 1.6 million people, and they sent a team of like 80.
And they all on the track.
They all track and field.
And they all on the track.
Bob,
I know. As long as I've been born,
I ain't seen a Jamaican swimming. But anyway, go ahead.
As long as I, they got one. He ain't that good. As long as I've been around watching Olympics, as long as I've been born, yo, China puts up numbers at the Olympics every year, yo.
Yeah. I guess so.
I mean,
they got like
come on, man.
Almost they're on their way to 2 billion. You're on the way to
I know. That don't mean they got to compete at a high level with damn near everything.
You're saying by process of elimination, you're going to find some good athletes. If you got 2 billion to choose, they got to meet them downtown.
Yeah, they got like province training camps probably. Like, okay, if you live in this area, then you're going to be a runner. If you live in this area, then you're going to be a swimmer.
That's that communist.
Yeah, China
pushed
up big.
They got Steph Marbury teaching them basketball.
That don't help.
I know.
What good is that, dude? They competed everything but basketball.
Yeah.
Michael Johnson is their track coach.
Yeah, but they just talk about that with the Asians. It's just like, and I'm not trying to be, I don't want to be a stereotypical or generalizing, but just like you see in education and in the workforce, and in myself being in the computer industry and the IT field, there are a decent amount of Asians and Indians that comprise that field. And one thing that I noticed that's similar with them is the focus,
so I read you right.
The concentration. the focus and the concentration and the iteration of going through things and going over things to get it right. And then you hear stories about the tiger moms and the way they raise their kids. And, yo, I'm not trying to, like, use a broad brush and just be like, this is everything, this is the way they do it all, but
listen,
you know what
listen,
I'm saying? I think that applies
brush,
to athletics.
Man.
I think that applies
to it's culture. It's really their culture is to achieve. Their culture is to, if you're going
not
to
quit.
Do something, then don't quit and be the very best that you can be. And as you're the very best, they pick whoever is best is the best. They're going to take, but it's a cultural thing, man. So it's really a compliment to their culture.
Like, why are they so good at diving, man?
Yo.
Because mathematics. It's
mathematics. Like diving. Yo, they're like cyborgs, though, man.
Yo, it's not supreme. It's not supreme mathematics, but it's mathematics.
Come on, God.
No.
Yo.
This up, because I was actually having a conversation earlier with one of our loyal listeners, Willie Garland. And we were talking about, like, you know, swimming and how you don't see a lot of African-American swimmers. And it kind of goes with what Austin said. It's culture, it's nature and nurture. I mean, when you look at certain sports and you see certain areas dominate, there's a lot of reasons for that. In terms of, you know, the where they live or how they're raised. Because even in the U.S., like, if you look at the U.S., what was I watching? I was like, yo, the U.S. table tennis. Yo, all the table tennis players were Asians, though, yo. But they were the U.S. team.
Even the U.S. team.
That's what I'm saying, the U.S. team. And I'm not trying to, because like PJ said, you don't want to paint things with a broad brush, but stereotypes are there for a reason. It's funny because watching the Olympics, you see a lot of racism come out. You see a lot of stereotyping and bigotry because you have so many different countries and so many different nationalities. You know, but anyway.
And Jimmy, when you look at also when you look at the athletic sports, a lot of times that can be traced back to diet because you look at the team, the countries that have the most athletic teams and excel in athletic sports, you can trace it back to
chicken.
Look at our team. Look at basketball. We just beat a team by 83 points. You going to tell me that ain't the chicken?
Yeah. See, like, yo.
We just beat another team of humans by 83 points, a professional human, by 83 points.
Our homie, Roy Burton from the Broad Street Line just sent me a message. He didn't let y'all know that this win by U.S. basketball means all of our email accounts are going to get spammed with Nigerian email tonight.
Oh, man. Yo, there's going to be so many offers tomorrow.
You see what I'm saying, man? This is what the Olympics brings out.
Shout out to the Olympics. Brings out the best in people.
Yeah, man.
We got a situation here in the U.S. I don't know if other Olympians from other countries have to go through this because really, in a lot of small nations, I've heard where – you know, they give people incentive to bring back gold. Like, you win a gold medal, and we give you all kinds of riches and stuff like that. Like,
yeah,
you know,
you
it's
get
like
a million
being
hours,
from, like,
you get
millions
like
of money.
And stuff like that.
Millions of money.
Millions of money.
A bunch of money with Prince Akeem's face on it. But listen, the IRS is actually taxing the U.S. Olympians on their earnings as well as the worth of the actual medals. Each gold medal, you get $25,000 for a gold medal. You get $15,000 each for silver medals and $10,000 each for bronze medals. Now, a gold medal is worth $675. A silver medal is worth $385, and a bronze is worth less than $5. I would never want to come in third in one of these joints. Because they shouldn't have told you that. Like, yo, your medal, come on, man. You can go buy that in the store right now. So anyway, at the income rate of 35%, that means for each gold medal, you owe Uncle Sam like $8,800, like $8,896 to be exact. Each silver medal, you owe $5,385, and each bronze medal, you owe $3,502.
I'm about the IRS, fellas.
Think about with somebody like Michael Phelps, who has 19 medals in all.
I got a 16, nice
16 gold, like 20 medals, 16 gold. Imagine what he's had to pay in taxes every year. Now, he's a different beast because he has all kinds of sponsorships and everything. He's rich. But every Olympian that goes, you know, over to the Olympics, they don't have money like that. This is just their dream to win.
Yo,
is
that's a
fair?
Great – you bring up a great – that's a great point, brother. And I feel as though you have to look at this kind of like government contracting. When you're a government contractor and you work abroad, a number of those folks are tax exempt up until about $115,000, $120,000. If you're representing your country in the Olympics, then you should be tax exempt on your winnings. That's how I feel. I think that it's ridiculous that Uncle Sam – I mean, it's almost like we're less of a country and more of a marketplace, but that's another conversation.
I don't think that's the truth. But here's the
thing,
though.
A currency,
anymore,
though.
Like it's just a market.
They're winning medals, not currency. So I mean,
they're paid out. They're paid out. They get paid. They actually get paid.
Yeah, 25 cents each gold medal.
Oh,
yeah, they get paid
with the
medal.
All right,
so you win the 25 grand, and then you know your medal.
You basically have to pay.
But they're taxing
the
medal and the earnings.
Hey, Dev, can you reread the numbers you get paid? You said 25 grand for each gold medal. What do you get for the silver and bronze?
15 for the silver, 10 for the bronze.
Okay. And then you get taxed on the worth of the actual metal, which is $675, $385, and $5 respectively.
You got the taxes on the cash and
the metal, and the rate is 35%.
Yo, and your $5 bronze medal, you got to pay 35% of that to Uncle Sam.
Yo, hold up, though. But I mean, I guess, and I'm not trying to turn this into an accounting show, but all your training, your meals and things of that nature, would you be able to write those off as expenses for you going and, you know, winning this, what have you? Because, I mean, these guys have to train. They have to be machines. Like, they have to pay for training and all that, you know.
That's a great question, Jimmy, and it depends on the event. Because for track and field, all of that is comped. Because of the money that the sponsors are going to make, Nike and USA Track pay for all of that. So those guys don't. But, for example, Devin and I had the pleasure of watching kayaking, Olympic kayaking, and it stands to reason that there probably isn't a large amount of money. Oh, it was hot. We were watching women's kayaking. Yo, that was thorough. But they probably don't have the sponsorship and the support, so they literally probably pay themselves. They have to reach into their own pockets to
hold on.
Themselves
they really
so the
has to be paid
work.
For. You mean to tell me when they go over to London, they have to pay for their own room and board? For like
I'm pretty sure
the Olympic Village.
Yeah, now the Olympic, once you're on the team, all of that is taken care of. But the training.
Oh, so you're saying just the training and the trials, the tournaments and stuff.
I'm talking about the course of the 2 years in between the Olympics. These people train.
We actually have a professional runner. We have a professional runner that we're tied to. PJ, we're working out a sponsorship deal with him, and he's an 800, a 400, and an 800 runner. And to prepare for the Olympics, it takes him 2.5 years.
Right.
It takes him 2.5 years.
That's what I'm saying.
Get your mind right before the Olympics.
The expenses on the course of those years may zero out. I mean, you get a good accountant. I guess he can take care of that. Yeah, I mean, you know, you get a nice little Burke Fidel to take care of that. But what I'm saying is, it's still kind of egregious to go to your point, Austin, that, like, when you compare other countries. But, again, this is capitalism, man. This is what we do. If they tried to pass a law where they were exempt, you know, this would be politicized and it would take forever anyway.
Well, you know what, Jimmy? Before that that thing that was called a basketball game that just went off, before that came on, in the studio with Doc Rivers and the host, they had – the U.S. woman who actually won gold medal in judo. And, you know, she was saying how – now, she said she was going to stay until the closing ceremony. So, PJ was just asking, I don't know, you know, if that's going to be on her own dime because her competition is over. I mean,
mm-hmm.
if I'm them, I'm like, you got to roll. If I'm paying for this, you got to roll. But she said she's staying to the closing ceremonies. But then she said when she goes back to Massachusetts – she's going to be taking the test to become a firefighter. So, yeah, for some people, you know, unlike Michael Phelps, who became filthy rich off his Olympic success, like the Team USA, who were filthy rich before they even sniffed the Olympics, it's hard times for some athletes. Like, you need that 25
grand.
Think about it this way. Each sport, if you, just from a common sense standpoint and practicality, you think about how popular a sport is and how much money it generates. And if you have certain sports where the Olympics, like something like, I don't want to say judo because I'd like to think that they generate some money in martial arts, but something like kayaking or whatever, that doesn't make that much money. That doesn't make that – badminton doesn't make that much money, at least not in the U.S., in the off season. It you're probably – introduced to certain sports for the first time during the Olympics. Now, something like track, a decent track athlete is going to make six figures. You know, somebody that's at the top of their sport in track, like Asanya Richards-Ross, she makes $1 million running track.
It depends upon where you are. Because even if you are, say, kayaking, and not to keep picking on kayaking, if you're at the top of your game and the top of your sport, a lot of these people play professionally in other countries.
Right. Like,
they were talking about the men's water polo team.
Water polo. Yeah.
And how those guys earn a living by playing in professional leagues across the country, but they had to make a sacrifice, and all of them took a year off so they could train together as an Olympic team.
Right.
But they took a year off from their team.
Now,
they play professionally.
that's a great segue, because if you look at the water polo team, they take a year off to train together, so they come together as a team. The U.S. track team, the 4x1 and the 4x4, they train for 1 week before they run in the Olympics, which is why they dropped the baton. The Jamaicans train for 6 months just on the relays, so they don't drop the baton. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's like passing a blunt, though, for them. When y'all were talking about, like, being on top of your sport, even if the sport isn't that popular, like, I imagine it to be that way for, like, Misty May Trainor and the beach volleyball girls who had a 32-set winning streak. I mean, they still haven't lost, but they didn't lose a set in three Olympics. Not even a set.
Damn.
So like, I'm pretty sure they make something, because you know their names. I mean, you know their names because of the Olympics, but, you know, you seem to hear them so much. Like, they have to do something.
I mean, you got, if you're the top of your sport, regardless of what your sport is, you can make money training. You can make money in various ways.
Sponsorship.
Like, Michael, because think about it. Michael Phelps, you said 25K. He made like 200 grand this last Olympics in cash. And it's funny, they were interviewing Ryan Loach, not Lochte, whatever you want to call him, Lochte Loach. They were interviewing him at his, that's my man Lochte. Anyway, they were interviewing Ryan Loach at his house, and he wasn't living in no hovel. My man had indoor, outdoor, he had, you know, I was like, damn, he got
hovel.
Like
the
but again,
night. I'm living in
no hovel. He wasn't living in no hovel. He had indoor, outdoor, you know what I mean? He had Mike, he had one of them type hovels. So what I'm saying is, but he's
mad
Jimmy
still calling that boy Loach. He called him that last week, and I thought Jimmy knew, because he sounded real confident. So
no, I'm being smart. That's why I said Loach, Lochte, whatever you want to call him, Loach or Lochte, however you want to pronounce it. But what I'm saying is, again, like you said, Dev, he's also at the top of his sport. He's one of the best, like, three positives in the world. So, but I guess it's probably a big difference between him and the person at the bottom of the totem pole in swimming, but there is money to be made depending upon how you're marketing and how successful you are.
Mm-hmm. True that.
Pay them nice tax bills.
Yeah. So well, but there's a lot of politicians who, you know, now that story is big in the news, like a lot of people aren't feeling it, so they're trying to make some changes. So you'll see a movement to get the Olympic medal taxes erased from future.
So you know what they're gonna do though? They're gonna erase it. They're gonna say starting 2046.
or we're going to have to pay the taxes. They're going to put them on the us citizens pay the taxes.
Can I get a refund then?
Get a refund. Pool play, as far as the Team USA, the basketball team, is concerned. They beat France by 22. They beat Tunisia the other day by 47. And didn't think it was going to get any worse than that. 10 minutes ago, they just finished reaming Nigeria by 83 points.
By 83.
83, man. I don't know. I just want to give the results and just ask every week, because there was such a panic before the Olympics started. Do you guys think that there's any chance this team can lose? I mean, I've seen Spain play. Spain almost blew one to Great Britain today, and they're supposed to be the team that can give the U.S. a run. Did you say Bielsa, and you think they can lose a game?
Yeah, I don't think it will happen. I got the U.S. winning, but I think there's a chance, because it becomes about matchups, and there's no substitute for size. Pause. And we're not talking about – it'd be different if we were just talking about Sun Ming or two tall Chinese bulls. Like, Powell and Mark are all-star caliber NBA centers, pivot men. So,
but here's my point. The reason I don't think it's a possibility.
Tyson
that
Chandler is the defensive player of the year. Right,
Chandler's not even fit to practice against those two dudes.
When you watch the games, though, a lot of it is intimidation. Like, a lot of these, if you watch certain teams play against each other, then you watch them play against the U.S., the players don't even have the same, like, rhythm or move. Like, they're scared.
Right.
Like, specifically on the wing. And when they Luis Scola is that dude, though. He's cut from a different cloth. But most of these guys on the wing, specifically, when they start putting pressure on, it looks like 93 Gretz team out there. They just start stripping the ball from cats, and they start running. Like, So to me, the intimidation factor is there. I don't see anybody beating them. Like, I mean, these guys ain't even
you think
played
that? Do, well, let me ask you this: do you think the Argentinians or the Spaniards? Because that's what it boils down to. Do you think either of those two teams are intimidated by the U.S.? You think Manu Ginobili, Juan Carlos Navarro, and Calderon are intimidated?
Okay, they may not be, but their teammates might.
Yeah, that's three
Rudy,
out of a 12.
You name, of course, if you name the best players, the NBA players of the bunch,
but
they play against these guys all the time. But I don't think when it comes to those matchups, intimidation, you know, they're not intimidated. They're just not good enough.
Right.
Point blank. I don't think anybody's going to come within double figures.
Yeah, I don't either. And I think that also because the U.S. knows that, you know, like Argentina and Spain, people are, like, giving them a chance, they're going to try to, like, really go after them. So they may beat them by 60.
They may
just
beat
because
them by 40.
Uh-huh.
They just use Nigeria as, like, their message board.
So
they just sent them
You think the Team USA perimeter players are going to take on the characteristics of their pop that they're playing with?
They have to. I mean, that's what I mean, because what you said earlier, that was going to be my response to that, when you said there's no substitute for size, and I disagree. Substitute for size is LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, Kevin Durant, Carmelo Anthony, Darren Williams. That's your substitute.
Yo, Melo had 37 points before he took a shot.
Man, so it's like, now you can say that in the NBA. You know, there may not be a substitution for size, but even a team like Miami showed you that that's not even true. If you get this kind of talent together in one place, there is a substitute for size. And I think they're going to pummel Spain if Spain even gets to the finals.
But I think they're going to make it a point to pummel Spain.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They're going to make it a point to pummel them.
I mean,
like,
their exhibition against Spain wasn't even that close.
I can see the one thing that I
Brazil
think
lost to the Russians
as most of y'all, as most of y'all make the point about the perimeter. I haven't seen the U.S. perimeter defense this intense in a long time. I mean, Russell Westbrook alone, he's out there scaring dudes.
Yo, he plucks somebody every other play. Dude,
he runs up like. He runs up on him like Bernard Hopkins in 92. Like, yo, give me that.
Yeah, he
looks
like
he in a mask on the subway.
Yo. He runs up on them boys and goes.
That's why he start plucking them. They start looking up in the rafters for a monkey.
They say, here, take the rock out. They don't want no problem.
But in pool play, Russia's 3-0 after they beat Brazil today. And they're actually
they got AK-47,
right,
man. AK-47.
And they got the verb, Mozgov. You got Mozgov'd.
Mozgov at AK-47.
Yeah, so I don't really think it's going to be too much. I think it's overblown. And as far as the female side goes, if you guys notice, we never talk about that because – there's no competition for them out there, so.
Yeah, they do what they want. A bad game for them is being up by 15 at halftime.
Yeah.
They might beat Tunisia, though.
Because y'all know, when I go over there on Sunday, I actually have semifinal tickets to women's basketball. So I might be reporting live to y'all from the women's basketball game. Nobody's really going to be interested, but that's what we got for y'all. So what?
Yo, I'm still right, upset at Candace Parker. She got a baby by that dude. Never mind. Go ahead.
Know about it.
She got a
sneezing dinosaur.
Yeah,
sneezing dinosaur.
Jeremy Tyrannosaurus.
We already spoke because I wanted to ask. I was going to ask y'all later, but we already talked about it, about the Chinese diving cyborgs. They're 4-for-4 in diving competition so far in the Olympics. You know, the synchronized platform, synchronized springboard, women and men. Like, every time you, like, if you don't see a diving competition from the beginning, if you turn in this second round, third round of six, you know who's in the lead before you even turn to the channel. And if you believe that and you turn, you're never wrong.
Yo, it's crazy because
like you see
everybody
else
is basically playing for like second and third.
Yes, and you and do you see how ecstatic they are when they get it?
Yeah,
that's all
I
they
know.
Can do.
The U.S. can definitely win gold in diving. They have to make one move. Bring my man Thornton Mellon in to do the triple Lindy. They bring my man Thornton Mellon back, let him do the triple Lindy, and we got a shot. Other than that, it's a wrap.
Yo, our chat room is not popping tonight. Where y'all at?
Cats watch like these
me
Olympics, man.
Yeah.
Cats watch these Olympics. But yeah, like, that's the only shot they have. China, like, it's crazy
bring
how far ahead
Mellon.
They are. Bring Thornton Mellon back. Let him do the triple Lindy. Nobody can hit that dive but Thornton Mellon, man.
Yeah. So let's stay in the pool with it because, you know, most of the hype from the Olympics so far, since track and field hasn't even started, has been in the Aquatic Center. The Phelps versus Lochte matchup, do y'all think it's lived up to the hype so far? Well, we can throw, to help answer that question, we can throw out a spoiler alert, and if you don't want to hear about any results that happened earlier today, you might want to, you know, cover your ears for about 20 seconds. But Michael Phelps actually won the 200 IM. He beat Lochte. I'm not even sure if Lochte came in second, but we'll see what happened tonight. So Phelps has another gold on his record. But when the games first started, Lochte embarrassed him and the rest of the field in the 400 IM. But since then, I don't really think Lochte's lived up to the hype, man.
He
got walked down in that 4x1.
Since he put that coonish grill in his mouth, it went downhill from there.
I think that relay race. Because when you, like, I mean, I'm not a swimming expert, but I definitely do see some of the guys say that confidence is everything. And his confidence was like, you know, messed up when that relay race when the ball like, ran him down like that, so to speak.
Did you see his interview afterwards? His confidence was really shot. I thought he was going to pull
worse.
An O.J. Murdoch or something.
He's not worse than that, the African-American gentleman on the men's gymnastic team. You know,
he's not even African-American.
He's Latino.
He's Latino.
Yeah, he's Latino. Oh, he just grew up his parents are lighter than him. They look like.
Yeah, he's full Latino, but even if he was African-American, I'm not claiming that cat.
Oh, no, he's soft, dude. He's
I'm not claiming
dude,
that
but
cat.
Listen, though.
You see him on the pommel horse, though?
Yeah, a lot. After every mess up, he come down off the joint and start crying. Like, come on, man.
Yeah,
that's the thing. But the thing is, though, like, yo, dude was on the news this morning. He still was crying about yesterday. When his confidence gets messed up, he's done. If he messes up
he said he just wanted to win the Olympics to bring some money back to help his parents. And I think because his parents are, like, real poor. So
he
I saw his story. It was a real sad story. Then they showed him on the pommel horse. I said, oh, my God, I'm turning this off.
Yeah, because he said when he was younger, he got a job to help them with the mortgage payments or something.
Yeah,
like that.
He was like 14. He was like illegal laboring that young boy. You know what I mean?
So he probably shouldn't have been working if he was practicing a little more on his craft. He probably could have put that money home. Cause
he should have been working on that pommel horse. That joker looked, I couldn't see what he did. My man got stuck on the pommel horse sitting on it. How you get stuck sitting on a pommel horse with your toes pointed? Homie must have cramped up. He must have been PMSing, because straight up, my man was sitting down on the pod. I'm like, yo, get off the jaw. He's sitting on the horse.
Oh, my God. That's crazy, man.
That's
the boy. I'm stuck with his toes pointing.
His toes pointing, sitting on the horse, though. Straddling the horse. My man going to stay there. I said, get off to your routine, huh? He going to sit there.
Anyway, that's crazy.
Y'all gotta stop, man.
All right, so Phelps now is the most decorated Olympian ever. What is he now? 20 medals, 16 gold. Do y'all think Phelps is the greatest Olympian of all time? That's been the question that's been going around the news and social media for the past few days. Is he the greatest Olympian ever?
Nah.
Here's the thing, though. You got to put him up there, but it's hard for me to make a swimmer the greatest Olympian. Like, I'm going to sound crazy, But when I think of, like, someone being the greatest Olympian or athlete, so to speak, it just can't be a swimmer, yo.
Yeah. I mean, but when you think about it,
when you're swimming,
you use more muscles than anything else. But at the same time, my reason is a little different from Jimmy's. Of course, you do have to put him in the conversation. And he might even be it because I don't have a name to substitute. But I'm just saying that I don't think he is based on the fact – because a lot of people look at it off sheer medal count. But that's different because in swimming, there's a bunch of events that you can be in and you don't have to just specialize. Like if you're a sprinter in track, you're not going to be running the 800 and the 1500. You're just going to be a sprinter and vice versa. But in swimming, that's different. You know, you can run the 100. You know, you can do the 400 IM. You can do a lot of things. So sheer medal count can't be the way that we make this decision.
Yeah.
With that being said, like Jimmy said, his name has to be floating around there somewhere now.
His name is up there.
Look at his ratio. Look at his ratio. 20 medals, 16 gold. Go ahead, BL.
I put him up there. He's definitely top 10 for me. But what I like to use as a part of my criteria or barometer is the number of years or the number of Olympics that you participated in and that you were dominant or you won a gold or you won a silver.
He would have to be in that argument, too.
He's been to two, right?
No, he's been to three.
Three.
This is
the
third.
2008 one is just the one where he just BBR'd everybody. But
he was a
other
young
than
boy
that,
in his first.
He steadily won medals in every Olympics. But
okay, he won in 2004.
2008 was his shining moment. He won 8 goals
right.
in 2008. But
yeah,
remember,
he has
16 goals, 20 medals. So
right.
So you know,
I think I like him. I've seen
and he smoked
folks
weed.
Participate. All right, he's number one.
That was it. You know, I've seen a lot of BPs saying you can't overlook Jesse Owens. See, now they're looking on impact and what was surrounding the games and stuff like that. If that's what we're going to look at, then, of course, there's never going to be a greater Olympian than, you know, somebody like Jesse Owens. But
what about my man Bruce Nose Job, skin replacement, like facial, my man Plastic Bruce you know, Jenner, because they said Bruce Jenner back in the 80s was like they would consider him to be the best Olympian. Then it was like Carl Lewis.
What about Kobe
Bryant? Yeah,
Carl
Lewis. Carl Lewis is a long jumper as well as a sprinter. Like, those are two
what I was saying is I know the decathlon is still a part of the Olympics, because when I think of someone just being a dominant athlete, the decathlon is what comes to mind for me.
That's true, Jimmy, but can any of us name a decathlete?
I know the one more was like nice. Somebody
Super
Dave.
Super Dave.
Yeah.
He said Super Dave.
I mean, that's the only thing. Yeah. They probably are the best athletes at every Olympics, but they get no shine, and we can't even name their, you know, we can't even name
I know the one dude. Flo I know
Joe.
The one dude. The one Ashton
nah,
Eaton. The only reason
printer.
I know him. Only reason I know Ashton Eaton is because he went to Oregon and, like, Nike has put him everywhere because, again, he went to Oregon. But he's, like, the top U.S. decathlete now. But in terms of, like, all time, I don't know. What about guys like, of course, are we talking about that we've seen or just in general? What about guys
like
Jim
Michael
Thorpe?
Johnson?
What about Arvydas Sabonis?
Jim Thorpe. What about Kobe Bryant, man?
But no, really.
Not at all.
You know, I spoke with somebody, and, you know, they were jumping on the whole sheer medal count thing. And, you know, I had to make a point to them, like, okay, this hasn't happened and it probably won't happen, but you can't go on sheer medal count. What if you have somebody in the basketball tournament who averages 70 points a game in three Olympics? He's only going to get one medal each time. So because he only has three, would he not surpass Michael Phelps?
Wait, hold on.
You know, even though
hold
he averaged
was
70
Will,
points a game?
Was Will in the Olympics?
Probably as a long jumper.
No, he was.
Or a beach volleyball player.
Jimmy, he was a long jumper.
That's why I said that.
He was also
in the Olympics, wasn't he?
He was once considered the best beach volleyball player in the world. Seriously.
Yo, it's Will. Will's the greatest Olympian. We done.
Was he in the Olympics?
Austin don't even know if he was in the Olympics, and he just said,
I don't care.
And if his body count is correct, I mean, he should get a medal for that. So So, you know, I mean, if that body count is even halfway correct, he should get a medal for that on his grade.
All right, but I think that's going to be a debate that's gonna rage on. Like, for me, like I said, I don't want to say Michael Phelps is that guy, but I don't really have
it's just too many. I mean, I remember, what about guys like, what's the guy's name, Mark Spitz? Mark Spitz had won like 7, and his was in more like dominant fashion than Phelps, and Bull retired at like 22.
I would go, honestly, there's another name that deserves consideration. There's a lady from Jamaica named Merlene Oddy. Merlene Oddy ran in the 80s, the 90s, and the 2000s. She ran the 1, the 2, and the relays.
But
and medaled in all 3 decades.
Can she really be in consideration when you introduce her as a lady named Oddy? No, seriously, like, I ain't even trying to be funny. Like, if you're going to be in a conversation of greatest Olympian of all time, then, you know,
my
people
man
should
said,
know
Lottie
your name.
Dottie. Lottie Dottie from
no,
Haiti.
No, Merlene
be like, this dude Oddy, I know.
She likes
lady.
To party.
No, Merlene Oddy. Merlene Oddy was a she medaled
Oddy.
In the 1 to 2,
Oddy.
The 100 to 200 and the relays in the 80s, the 90s, and she made the 2004 Olympics, I believe.
Lottie.
Okay. Well, let's Lottie shut this whole conversation down. We got somebody
real
on the
quick
line,
though,
too. The greatest Olympian of all time was Maximus Decimus Aurelius.
I agree. Nobody
argued
that.
There it is.
We agreed
maybe,
on that?
Maybe Spartacus. But hold on, though. Real quick, Dan. Real quick.
Maybe Spartacus.
Maybe Spartacus, but you got to think that there's so many factors that come into play when guys like Jesse Owens are prevented from running in certain races because of politics. So it's just hard to call him the greatest because of his medal count. I mean, I just want to leave it at that. I just won't go
with
his medal count.
I agree with that.
There's so many variables that come into play. If Jesse Owens was allowed to compete as much as he wanted to, he might have had 25 medals.
He might have got
probably
good,
not just because there aren't that many in track, but his ratio, he might have had all gold. You know what I mean? He might not have lost a race. So that might give, the ratio might play a big part, too. Screen door that, Jim.
No doubt.
So let's go to gymnastics a little bit, because the Olympic team, besides the men and the dude that we spoke about a little earlier, the women's gymnastic team has had a lot of success. They took the gold, and spoiler alert, but I don't know, you know, unless you're under a rock, how you wouldn't know that Gabby Douglas has also won the individual competition. So she got the gold in the team gymnastics and the individual gymnastics. She's becoming, like, her popularity is
she's
going,
a darling now.
Yeah, it's like going through the roof right now. She's like the third most tweeted about athlete. Of course, Michael Phelps is one. Missy Franklin, the swimmer, she's number 2. And her friend requests have gone up like 1,000% since the Olympics started. And then there's Gabby Douglas, which she could overtake Missy tonight since she did win
and
that individual.
And then there's Gabby Douglas's hair.
which is getting a lot of attention. But no, that's what I was about to say. With her, a lot of the attention is controversial because you have a lot of people who jumped on the bandwagon and they, you know, they love her. Of course, you have a lot of black people who jumped on the bandwagon because they're BPs. And then you have people saying stuff about her, like, you know, her hair and why does she look this way, why does she look that way. So it's a lot of controversy going around social media about her. What do you guys think? Because I don't think that anybody really thought she was going to come into the Olympics and perform the way she has. She's another one with a little,
start
you know,
off.
She got a little story behind her.
I'm gonna start off by saying pause to the fact that I like and watch gymnastics, like pause that. But yo, she is tremendous and she's very versatile. So she's good at a lot. I mean, she's good at the horse, she's good at the double, the bar, she's good at the rings, and her floor exercise is
on
par.
The paddle,
I know what
bar.
You meant. No,
yeah,
I'm not even at the horse. The women don't do the pommel. But I know what you're talking about. You're talking about
the
little,
horse.
The balance,
the balance beam?
The balance,
yeah.
balance beam.
Balance beam, too. So I think that she's I'm very impressed with what she's been able to accomplish at the age of 17, and I think that we're going to see and hear from her for years to come. I'm saddened by the black folks that have decided to ridicule her about her features and her hair. I just think that, you know, and indulge me here for a second, gentlemen, but off topic, yo, black people, we got to do better, man. Like, the self-hatred thing is out of control. Like, if you got a problem with somebody because of their complexion or because of their features, and you want the woman of your dreams or the woman that you're around to look more Caucasian in features, that's
preach,
fine.
Brother Malcolm.
Yo, but to yourself, you know what I'm saying? Let's not bring up that she needs to have a conch or a relaxer in her hair. Yo, just appreciate what this 17-year-old girl is accomplishing and leave all of that. Yo, you hate yourself, but don't
hate
on her.
Hold on, Austin. Hey, step off the podium for 1 second.
We're going to go to the phone lines, man. We're going to go to the Digital Extreme real quick. We got Mike from Philly. Mike, what up? You're in the war room.
What's the deal, gentlemen? What's going on?
What's up, cousin?
Nice. What up, Mike?
Not much. What's up, Nuts? Brad, you don't have enough time to talk about African-American self-hatred, dog. Your show's only 2 hours.
Yeah, I got it, though. I got my cross.
Hey, listen, though. I want to touch on the point Devin was making earlier. I agree with you halfway, and the other half of me doesn't, as far as the greatest Olympian. You can't say, you know,
never
just because Michael Jordan... Huh?
I said you never agree with me.
I know, but I do in a sense. Let me finish.
Right.
You can't say because you know you made a point of if a basketball player averages, you know, 70 points a game and he plays in, let's say, 3 Olympics, you know, best case scenario, he gets 3 Olympics out of his career, that he could potentially be the greatest Olympian. No, the Olympics is all about how many. You're considered an athlete based on how many sports that you can excel at. Not, oh, I'm just good at basketball, so that makes me a great athlete. That's not what the Olympics is about. Now, you got a guy like Jesse Owens or somebody like that who participated in multiple sports, not
different
just
events.
Running, not just basketball,
totally,
not just swimming. Because I don't agree that Michael Phelps was the best Olympian ever. He swims. Okay, he
do a bunch
swims
of different
the 400,
kind of
the 200. Huh?
He do a lot of different strokes. No Chick-fil-A.
But he's only, you know what I mean, he's only swimming. You know what I mean? Michael Jordan,
right.
Those guys only play basketball. They didn't beat Croatia and then go do the you know, the hurdles.
Yeah, but who else?
You know what I mean?
Who crosses over
other
sports?
Athletes when they do shot putting and they run, they do the hurdles.
That's all track,
you know,
and
I mean?
Field. That's part of the same sport.
Yeah, but that's multiple.
And Jesse Owens
ain't
shot
sports.
Putting
like,
them big dudes shot putting.
Yeah, they
well,
shot
Jesse
putting
Owens,
the same
Owens,
the high
Jesse
jump
Owens
and all
won
that.
Jesse Owens won 4 gold. He won the 100, the 200, and he did a long jump. But I see what your point is, but. It's just that's what the Olympics has become. It's all about specialists. It's not like before where guys were attempting.
That's what,
like,
that's what sports
things.
Has become.
This is true, too.
That's what sports
even if you look
become.
At the NBA,
at,
I mean, you got
right.
specialists.
You got guys
that
just can hit.
Position.
Yeah. You got guys that shoot jump shots. In football, you got guys that rush the passer. In baseball,
yeah.
You got guys that pitch one inning. You got a setup guy to the closer. The closer can't pitch the eighth and the ninth. He can only pitch the ninth. You know what I mean? I agree with you, but the Olympics goes back further than, you know what I mean,
yeah.
What's going on now, much further than what's going on now. So you got
to
create
it. Basically, it would have to be somebody from way back in the day.
It would basically have to be, because these guys now aren't really athletes. They train, like Michael Phelps, he trains on that all year for 3 years. You know what I mean? He trains
in
a specific area. These guys, they could do... Pretty much everything. Like Jim Brown was an athlete.
Props,
when you say
it's not like he's just freestyling. You know, he's doing a whole bunch of different.
No, I agree. He's a great Olympian, but I don't consider him one of
the greatest.
The greatest.
I feel you. I mean, because I'm kind of there.
You know what I mean?
Don't have
I agree that
he's into the slot.
Yeah. True.
I,
but we'll figure it out one of these. I told you who mine. I got Spaniard, Maximus
Deli. I got Jim Thorpe, man. Jim Thorpe was like doing the discus throw, the long jump, the javelin throw. Yo, not to mention
he's the dude Mike's talking about. He's one of them dudes.
Yeah, right. Not to mention that Bull Strait played in the NFL, professional basketball and baseball.
Hey, Mike, thanks for your call. We got another call, and we only got a couple of minutes, so.
Brian, stop calling people darlings. Pause on that. You calling people, I don't care if you like gymnastics, but darlings? Come on, man.
It's a girl, Mike. All How right, you going to pause me for calling a girl a darling? Get your mind out the rainbow, man.
Oh, yeah, I'm stupid.
Yo, you just want to bring your call on?
Yeah, we're not even going to screen you, so don't say nothing crazy.
No doubt. 917-522, what's your name and where you calling from?
This is Kevin Lang. How you doing, fellas?
K-Lang,
what's up, homie?
Hey,
Lang called from like 19 different phones.
I just want to comment on this greatest athlete of all time.
Yeah.
You cannot be called the greatest athlete of all time if you've lost. Edwin Moses, yeah, you guys are a little bit younger than me, but Edwin Moses never lost a hurling event in his life.
No, but I said something like that earlier. I wouldn't say never lost, but I was saying that there are people who may have a better ratio than Michael Phelps. I mean, he has a great ratio, 20 medals, 16 of them gold. But if there's a person out there who's competing in less events because they don't have as many events as swimming and their ratio is better, they may have 10 events and 10 golds, then I probably would give it to somebody like that. So I guess Edwin gets your vote.
Edwin Moses gets my vote all day. Definitely.
Yo, Edwin Moses has 8 gold medals, but beyond his gold medals, yo, I won 122 consecutive races. I'm in first place in 122 consecutive races. Yo, the bottom line with this whole argument is you know, there really is no right answer, but because there's so many tremendous athletes, I mean, who participate at this level. I mean, it's the highest level of competitive athleticism. And I forgot all about Edwin Moses until you just brought it up. Edwin Moses, you know, Jesse Owens, and but Michael Phelps' name has to be mentioned at this point. I think that's what we're basically saying.
Yeah. Getting my Michael Phelps on. All right, we're about to get out of here, Kay Lang, so we'll holler at you next week.
Yeah. How you win 122 consecutive races, though,
man? Yeah, that's crazy.
I mean, that was kind of like Misty May and Carrie. They won 32. Like, they hadn't lost a set until yesterday. Not even a set, let alone a game. And they lost the first set, and then they came back and crushed them in the next two because they were upset about that.
The stud farms during slavery did accomplish something.
Yo, Edwin Moses, they say Edwin Moses got bored with track and left, and his wing got his NBA. how you that nice, though? But anyway, Phelps' name has to be mentioned to get back to what we're saying. But I'm enjoying the Olympics thus far, and, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing the track and field, specifically the women. But
hey,
what
PJ.
You guys looking forward to seeing?
Oh, well,
the women,
I was going to ask
the women
PJ real
that
quick.
Run the 100 and the 200.
Okay.
Hey, I'm going to try to, I don't know, it's going to be like midnight over there damn near when y'all on the air, but I'm going to try to come on and report live from London next Thursday. So look out
That's
for crazy numbers on the screening board.
It's going to come up as letters or something.
Real quick with PJ, because he wasn't on when we talked about it, man. What's up with your man Snoop Lion, man? Before we go,
yeah, man. See, he didn't. I think that's the residual effects of all the marijuana that man has smoked. I think his brain is just—he got like 3 different brains, and they're not all connected. I think his brain has separated. Straight up, Snoop, man. He just overdid it with the weed, man. My man had
real quick,
epiphany.
So office, we definitely gotta go now. We're running out of time. But listen, man. All I want to say real quick, thanks to everybody who supports us and listens today. Check us out next week. Same time, same place, more Olympic talk. And shout out to my man Snoop Lion.
This is my
for the G's, and this is for the hustlers. This is for the hustlers, now back to the G's. This is for the G's, and this is for the hustlers. This is for the hustlers, now back to the G's. Free. Had ease. Now let me drop some more of them keys. It's 199 Trey, so let me just play. It's Snoop Dogg, I'm on the mic, I'm back with Dr. Dre. But this time, I'm gonna hit your ass with a touch to leave motherfuckers in the days fucked up. So sit back, relax, New Jack gets smacked. It's Snoop Doggy Dogg, I'm at the top of the stack. I don't lack for a second, and I'm still checking. The dopest motherfucker that you're hearing on the record is me, you see. S-N-O-O-P-D-O-G-G-Y, the D-O-G-G. I'm fly as a falcon, soaring through the sky. And I'm high till I desire. So check it, I get busy, I make your head dizzy. I blow up your mouth like I was dizzy. Gillespie, I'm crazy, you can't faze me. I'm the S, oh yes, I'm fresh, I don't fuck with the stress. I'm all about the chronic, bionic, you see. Every single day chillin' with the D-O-double-G's. D-O-U-N-D, that's my clique, my crew. You fuck with us, we got to fuck you up. I thought you knew, but yet you see. You wanna get real, now it's time to feel. You say chill and feel. The motherfucking realism, Snoop Doggy Dogg is on the mic, I'm hitting hard as steel, nigga. This is for the G's, and this is for the hustlers. This is for the hustlers, now back to the G's. This is for the G's, and this is for the hustlers. This is for the hustlers, now back to the G's. How many hoes in your motherfucking group? Wanna take a ride in my 7-8 coupe, DB? Chill as I take you on a trip, where them niggas ride and slide. You know about the east side, niggas like myself here to show you where it's at. With my hoes on my side and my strap on my back. Papers I stack daily, and Death Row is still the label that pays. But you know how that go, we flow toe for toe. If you ain't on the road, fuck you and your hoe. Really though, so check it, it's Snoop Doggy Dogg on the solo tip, steel clocking, gripping. Don't really give a shit about nothing at all, just my dog stepping through the fog, and I'm still gonna fade them all with the gangster shit that keeps you hanging. How many hoes in 94 will I be banging? Every single one to get the job done, as I just get flipped right back to 2-1. What the sun be shining, and I'll be rhyming. It's me, Snoop D-O-double-G, and I'm climbing. This is for the G's, and this is for the hustlers. This is for the hustlers, now back to the G's. This is for the G's, and this is for the hustlers. This is for the hustlers, now back to the G's. I come creeping through the fog with my sagging deuce. Eastside Long Beach in a 7-8 coupe TV. I'm rolling with the G-Funk, bumping in my shit, and it don't quit. So drop it on the one, motherfucker, put together that shit. A nigga with a grip of that gangster shit, with the east side hoes on my motherfucking dick, and the Compton niggas all about the set trip. Swing it back, bring it back just like this. And if you with my shit, then blaze up another split. And keep the motherfucking blunt in your pocket low, cause Doggy Dogg is all about the zigzag smoke. See, it's a West Coast thing where I'm from. And if you want some, get some, bad enough, take some. But watch the gun by my side, because it represents me and the motherfucking east side. So bow down to the bow wow, cause bow wow, yippee-yo. You can't see my flow, my shit is dope, original. Now you know, and can't no hood fuck with Death Row. This is for the G's, and this is for the hustlers. This is for the hustlers, now back to the G's. This is for the G's, and this is for the hustlers. This is for the hustlers, now back to the G's.